Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
Live in this world in such a way that your mind is free from the things that will push you into sin. Don't mess around with sin, because the Bible says anything that is unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God.
This week, Pastor Neil is diving into more lessons from 1 Peter. Peter teaches us that Jesus is our living hope and our divine protector. We're called to stand out from the crowd, and that should show in how we live our lives, embracing a lifestyle of holiness that should be reflected in our daily lives. This means thinking and acting differently and loving others sincerely. It's also important to remember that we don't belong to ourselves. We've been given new life, not from something that fades away, but through the living and enduring Word of God. Pastor Neil has titled this message, How Can We Be Different in a Corrupt Society?
All right, grab your Bibles, go to the book of 1 Peter. You're in 1 Peter, we are still at chapter 1. Last week I began a lesson in the book on the book of Peter, 1 Peter. And we said that it is a letter. Everybody say it is a letter. It was a letter that was written to the believers who were scattered in the then Asia Minor. Today it is modern Turkey. We are told that these Christians lived as exiles, as refugees. And so their lives were full of pain. And Peter was writing to them and reminding them that in the midst of their pain, they had two options. They can go through their pain very sad and dejected, or they can go through the pain and the suffering, rejoicing and smiling. And he tells them 9 things. I'm only reviewing from last week. Peter says that you can rejoice because you have a new birth. The new birth has put you into a new family. That new family gives you a new inheritance. The new inheritance points you to heaven, which is your new home. And he says that you must always remember in the midst of your pain and the suffering that you have a divine protector. He's unseen, but he guarantees your deliverance. And as you go through these things, always remember that your faith is being developed. That is how we have a living hope. Everybody say living hope. In today's lesson, you begin to see that Apostle Peter is saying that once you have a living hope through the new birth, it should lead to a new lifestyle. And that lifestyle is a bad word for our day. It's called holiness. Everybody say holiness. So I want to use as a subject this morning, please pay attention to how I titled the message, How Can We Be Different? And into brackets, holy. It has to be you. You have to be different. Peter is saying that, yes, you are refugees, you are exiles in another land. As a result, your life is going to be painful and you are being persecuted, so there is suffering. But you are also surrounded with sin, temptation, and other things. You find yourself in a corrupt society. You should live different. You should be holy. Raise your right hand and say this after me. I intend to be holy in this corrupt society. Amen. So I would want to take time to define the word holy. We'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1 from 13 to 25, but I want to just pay attention first of all by explaining the word holy. Everybody say holy. For you to fully understand the word holy, we must understand 2 other words. One is the word righteous, the other is the word glory. Most of the time, people confuse them. Righteousness has to do with a divine standard or God's standard. For example, when you read the scriptures, the laws, the principles, and the commands of God, the 10 commandments are standards of righteousness. It's God who has put it there. But holiness is much bigger than that. Everybody say much bigger. For those of you who have been in church for a long time, you may be confused when I give you the definition of holiness. Remember, God says, if you are my children, then like father. So he says, be holy for I am one. That's what God is saying. If you are my children, I am a holy God, so be holy. And sometimes people make it look like holiness is a big thing. It is big, but you are capable, as God wouldn't say. If God says, be holy, he knows he's put into you what it takes to be holy. Tell the person sitting next to you, pay attention. So righteousness has to do with divine standards. It has to do with the principles, the laws, and the commands of God. But holiness simply means to be set apart. Everybody say set apart. I'll come back to those two words later. It means to be unique. When the Bible says God is holy, it means he's unique. You can't compare anybody to him. He's one of a kind. He's in a class all by himself. It's all part of my definition. So when God says he wants you to be holy, he is not asking you to fit in. Fitting in is error. Holiness means you are unique. You are one of a kind. When people look at you, they will get confused. Is this one still a human being? Because the way you live your life, you are in a class all by yourself. So whenever we say God is holy, it means that you cannot treat him as common. You cannot treat him as profane. In fact, let me use another word that we all can relate to. God cannot be treated as regular. So your spouse is holy unto the Lord. They are unique. They are not the same. Can I illustrate it this way? Ladies, the ladies would understand this better than the guys will do. Whenever you go into any household, there are dishes, right? There are dishes. How many kinds of dishes do we have in a home? Now, you will notice that in a house, there are dirty dishes, which will be in the sink, correct? Then we clean those dishes so they become what? Clean. But ladies, you will all agree with me that there are some dishes in the house. You can be the husband of the house, but you don't get to eat in them because those dishes have been set apart. They are holy. They are unique. They are one of a kind. They are in a class all by itself. I need you to follow me because I'm going somewhere with this. We see this principle in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, in a great house there are vessels, some to honor and some to what? Dishonor. Some have been set apart. Before you got born again, you were a dirty dish. Christ Jesus has cleaned you up. So you have become a clean dish. But what God is after, not dirty dishes, not the clean dish, because some of us, all we do is we stop at cleanliness. But God wants you to be the set apart dish that not everybody in the house eats in it. Are you understanding where we're going? I'm laying a groundwork before we read Peter because I don't want you to misinterpret those words. So, if God wants us to be holy in the midst of corruption, he's saying, in the midst of dirty dishes and even clean dishes, he wants you to be the set apart dish. The one that is not often used anyhow. It is set apart unto him. Did you grab that? So we have defined the word righteousness. We have defined the word holiness. Let's define the word glory. The word glory in simple terms means to advertise. Everybody say advertise. Or displace the nature of something. Whenever you say that you glorify something, it means you are putting that thing on display. So whenever we glorify God, We taste God through nature and we put it on display. We advertise it. All right, I'll tie these things together for you to fully understand. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Are you in the book of Isaiah 6? The scripture says, in the year the king Uzziah died, the prophet Isaiah, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Or the train of his robe, what? Come on, talk to me. The train of his robe did what? Fill the temple. Seraphims were standing above him, and each had six wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they flew. And one called to another. Unique. Class all by yourself. Holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth. Look at verse 1. Go back to verse 1 again. In verse 1, what is it that fills the temple? What fills the temple? The robe. Right? The train of the robe fills the verse 3. His glory fills. So his robe fills the temple, which is you. I'm bringing it into the New Testament era. But then it is not meant to stay in the temple. It is to be put on display. His train, his holiness has to be in the temple. But it has to be put on display so all men can see and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I put a lot of scriptures together. Are you with me? It is important then that the child of God understands that God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be what? Set a unique in a class all by yourself. If you are at a place where people are walking in sin and you cannot be made out as unique, then something is wrong with your holiness. Did you get that? It is important we get it. I'm going to take it to the next level. Suppose we have a woman who is going to get married. Oftentimes, they have a train. Right? I'm not talking about train as we sit in. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about the train of a robe. But in the contest here, they're talking about a king because the kings also had what? Trains. And their trains were so long. So go back to the woman who is getting married. She enters the temple and then presume that her train is so big and large that it covers the entire sanctuary because there is like the whole place is empty. And she enters before you come in. What are you supposed to do? You have to be careful. Because the train fills the place, it becomes holy ground. So God tells Moses, remove your sandals because the place where you stand is holy. What is he saying? Moses, this is a holy place because my train has filled that entire land and you must be careful how you step. So when God calls us to holiness, he's saying, be careful how you. It means you can't be a Christian after 10 years and you are still cursing the same way. Something has to change. Are you understanding where we're going? With all of that in mind, now let's go to the book of Peter. Peter is telling the hearers, you have been born again. You have been born into a new family. You have been given an imperishable inheritance. Something has happened to you. Verse 13, are you there? He says, therefore, with your minds ready for action. Therefore is what? Is a conclusion. So you go back. Because you have been born again. Because you have been set free. Because you are in the family of God. because you have a new inheritance. He tells you, he said, because of all of this, you have to guard your mind. I like it in the King James. It says, therefore, with your mind ready, please underline that for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's saying that the first step, please write it down, the first step for you and I to be holy is we must learn to think differently. It comes from your head, your mind. You must what? Notice how he says it. Holiness requires that we adopt a new mindset. You cannot operate on the same old mindset. Let's drink a little. Okay, now I've gotten better. So I'm no more a dirty dish. I am now a clean dish. So I won't drink it, but I'll give it to people. No. You are set apart. You ain't drinking it. You are not giving it. It is a place to say amen. Whatever you hear from a preacher who has been set over you means it's an issue with you. That's why you hear that many times. And I'll tell you to the day I close my eyes on this earth. Stay away from it. So he says, your mind should be ready for, your mind should be ready for action. Because he's telling you that when sin comes, you know how we become comfortable with our mess? Haven't you become comfortable with your mess? Back to the book of Isaiah. When Isaiah's eyes was open, he says, woe is me. Because he has become comfortable with the mess. That even when there was surrounding him an environment of holiness, he wasn't seeing it. But when things became clear, he says, man, I can't believe this is where I am. I pray that this week you will have an encounter with God in such a way. And sometimes the encounter occurs in your difficult moments. Because it was in the year that his uncle Uzziah died that he saw the Lord. Amen. So don't discount when you're having difficult moments thinking Satan is all. No. God is still at work in the midst of that. He says, be sober-minded. Somebody say sober-minded. Meaning, be free of intoxicating influences. So let's go back to what God is saying. Amen. So Peter says, if I will be holy, it begins with my thinking. I must start thinking. I must grab my mind, tell my mind I am ready to live holy. Then stop the external things from influencing it. Then he says, make up your mind. Set your hope. In other words, make a determination that this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. So you are not wishy-washy. When somebody asks you for something, you say no. You're walking in the mall. You're a married man. You see a lady half naked. Don't watch. Period. Don't assume you can watch and you'll be fine. By the time you are done, you will be filthy. And it is the place for all the brothers to say, that's 2 hours of counseling given to you for free. Peter is saying you are not only to think differently, but number two, you must live differently. You must do what? We see that in verse 14 to verse 17. It says, as obedient children, please underline that. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct. For it is written, be holy because I am like Father, like. If you appeal to the Father who judges impartially according to each one's work, you are to conduct yourself in reverence in the fear of God during your time when you are living as what? Strangers. Please write this statement down. Holiness is much more about your behavior than it's about your belief. Did you hear that? Holiness is much more about what? I cannot believe that there are Christians who can speak in tongues so much, but can't love anybody. Something is wrong with that picture. Because the Holy Spirit brings fruits. And one of the fruit he brings is love.
So I don't understand how you can say all of them. And love is an issue. Forgiveness is an issue. Holiness is more of behavior. Turn to the person sitting next to you. Please don't beat them. They are only repeating what I told them. Holiness is a behavior more than it is what? A belief. Don't live it as a belief. Please make sure it becomes part of you. Amen? So number one, Peter says, if I will be holy, I must think differently. Number two, I must live differently. But number three, you must see yourself differently. See yourself. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 to 21 tells us that we must see ourselves as people who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. But I want to read a different verse of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? The last statement, read with me, please. This statement must sink inside your knower. You must come to that place where you know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you don't belong to yourself. God owns you. Have you heard husbands who are crazy say, I own your body? Have you heard it before? I have heard it many times at counseling sessions, how the man is just making his case, and her body is mine, her body is mine. Okay. Your body belongs to God. You. Yes, it belongs to God. Sometimes believers read these things. Yeah, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, but it's not sunk deep that your body is not your own. So all the people who says, can I have piercings? Can I have this? Can I have that? Go ask him if he says it's okay. Because the body is not yours. We try to argue it out. Why is it written in the scriptures? You are not. Come on, talk to me. You are not. You are not your own. I am not my own. So when I'm about to start insulting someone, I must remember that I am insulting God's body. You are not your own. And when you are eating anyhow, and you are getting pot belly like me, you must remember you are not your own. The body is not yours. The fasting has made me flat. In Jesus' name. So the Apostle Peter says, we are called to a place of holiness. It begins with our mind. We must think differently. Number two, we must what? Live differently. And number three, you must see yourself differently. He's telling you, you have been bought with a price. Don't forget that. You are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. And finally, he tells us that we must learn to love differently. If you are holy, you must be sincere in your love. Christians are one of the most... You know how sometimes we are in a rush to tell other people, but you are like that yourself. You are like that yourself. We are in a rush to tell, look at them, they are fake. But you are fake. You are fake. Are you in 1 Peter? Look at verse 22, 1 Peter 1. He says, since you have purified yourselves by your obedience. Everybody say, by your obedience. So whenever we talk about holiness, it's not a belief. It is your obedience. It is your behavior. It is what you are doing. Are you with me? Don't let anybody say obedience. Obedience is not in the Bible. Holiness. Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you show sincere, brotherly love. Everybody say sincere. Genuine, brotherly love. And he says, it must spring from a pure heart so that you love one another, not once in a while, but constantly. Four things. Let's see if you still remember. If I am going to be holy, I must what? Think differently. Number two, I must live different. Number three, I must what? See different. And finally, I have to be genuine in my love. mean, my brother? As soon as they turn around, don't mind them. They act like they are lovers. You, who is doing it, you are not genuine too. Real holiness, the scripture says, you must be sincere. Sincere, genuine. And I've said this over and over. It is difficult to walk with other believers. We are like porcupines. We needle ourselves, but we need one another. Amen. I'm going to close. Go to 1 John chapter 3, and I'll close this morning. 1 John chapter 3. Why is holiness an important thing? Verse 20 and 21. Are you there? 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Please, if you can. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. Verse 21. Please read with me, shall we? Go. Dear friends, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence. All right, I want you to put yourself in the verse. Read it this way. Hear me. If my heart. Is that not true? This is why sometimes we are praying and we don't even believe what we're saying, because we've messed around with holiness. Anybody who walks in holiness, when they ask something from God, they are not wishy-washy, because the Bible says God is going to respond. Don't ever assume that because of what all these prophets and other people are saying, that somebody needs a special anointing to come and pray for you, you can leave anyhow. You are kidding. Stay holy and call on God yourself. God will hear you. Stop sitting in your room and conjuring things about people. Sometimes our minds are filthy. If it was put on screen, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't want your mind to be put on screen. Be like Isaiah. After they sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord," he got into the environment of holiness. All of a sudden, he says, "Man, now something is wrong with me." So we're going to stand together this morning. And I wanted to pray and say, "Lord, change who I am." We've been in church for too long. It's time for us to gird our minds. Let's be serious. I know you are serious, but let's get serious with holiness. Shall we pray? Come on, everybody. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, speak to the Lord. Think different, live different, see yourself different, and love differently. He's calling us to that place. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you today. We ask of you that you will strengthen our hearts and be with us. Help us to respond to the call of holiness, that in the midst of this corrupt generation, that we will remain uncorrupted. That first of all, thinking different, based on what you says, not what the world teaches us. Secondly, actually living it and beginning to see ourselves as people who are owned by you, that we are not of our own. And when it comes to each other, Lord, that we will love sincerely. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.